Here's a question that we get quite often. I am a woman. I wanted to ask how to apply 1 Timothy 2 verse 12. Do you see Sister White as having authority over men, or is she simply seen as a messenger? How do we understand Deborah, the judge, in the light of these words that the apostle wrote to Timothy? I'm reading the Bible live on Facebook video and occasionally making comments and teaching under those circumstances. And let's read what the quote is. But which becometh woman professing godliness with good works, let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. Martin, if I may be tongue-in-cheek, has humanity ever succeeded in that?
I'm going to be in trouble.
I don't think anybody has ever succeeded in that one. Let's try and unpack this one. There are many statements that seem, on the face of it, to be confusing. If your faith is weak, you will eat only vegetables.
Got a very weak faith here.
Very weak. You'll be totally plant-based, Martin. So that means that you and I are in big trouble.
Yeah.
We have a very weak faith. How do you look at all of this?
You put it in context.
Yeah. An idol is nothing, because an idol doesn't really exist, right? So if an idol doesn't exist in your perspective, then idolatry is not a problem, right?
Yeah.
So food sacrificed to idols. If your faith is weak, then you will not eat anything that has been contaminated in this way or dedicated to another deity. Well, that excludes today most of what's in the supermarket, because it has certain little stamps on it.
Yeah.
So you'll have to become like Nebuchadnezzar and eat grass or something like that. So we have all of these strange statements in the Bible. All right, let's ask the question, did Deborah have authority?
Yes.
Yes, she was a prophetess. Mm-hmm. So she had unquestionable authority. Did Huldah have authority?
Mm-hmm.
Unquestionable authority. What about spirit of prophecy? Would she have had, would Ellen White have had authority if her visions were directly from God?
Definitely, it has to be.
Has to be authoritative, mm-hmm. right? Although some claim she didn't have the same authority, but they had the same inspiration, which is circular reasoning of the highest order. Mm-hmm. Okay, so how do you deal with this? And why should the women be silent? You must look at the historic context.
Mm-hmm.
We must look at what the situation was, because Paul took the gospel to the heathen.
Yes.
Now, in heathen temple services, the central issue was of a sexual nature.
Mm-hmm.
It was a sex cult.
Yeah.
You can just go to some of the modern temples and have a look at what the depictions are.
Mm-hmm.
And the murals are, and what some of the hidden symbology is, it is purely sexual.
Yeah, yeah.
It has hidden meanings of male and female anatomy.
Mm.
And if you go to some of the Eastern temples today, and you look on the walls, you will see the most gross acts being depicted.
Mm.
This is the kind of worship that you had. And you had temple prostitution.
Yeah.
And it was customary to take part in temple prostitution. You were actually doing the heathen deities a service by partaking of it. Do we have this kind of orgy going on in today's world as well?
Definitely. It even infiltrates Christian world.
Let's not go there, because it's too gross to even talk about. So that is the situation. And in these heathen environments, the women played a very prominent role in teaching.
Mm, okay.
Now, if you take the situation today, you also have the women playing prominent roles, let's say in Catholicism, the nuns are the ones that do the teaching in the schools and all the things that pertain to it. Is there anything wrong with a woman teaching?
No.
Was Deborah a teacher of the law?
Definitely, yes.
Was Huldah a teacher? Mm. Were the daughters of Philip, were they prophets?
Yes.
Prophetesses?
Yeah.
Yes. So obviously, the problem doesn't lie with godly women.
No. And it also not with the teaching.
Right.
It's obviously what is being taught.
What is being taught and how it is being taught. Now, when you take these heathen priestesses, they were shaven. Mm. They shaved their heads. They looked somewhat like you, Martin, if you will excuse. And they so often wore a tabot to close it then off or a veil or something like that. But they were shaven. Do we have religious systems in the world where they are shaven?
Yes.
Tonsured? Mm-hmm. Yes, even in so-called Christian denominations. Correct, right? And in other religious systems, it is customary to this day.
That's it.
So I do not allow a woman to shave her head, because her hair is a glory. Mm. So he's talking about all of these heathen practices that now had to be excluded from the church.
Exactly.
Otherwise you would have had chaos.
Yeah, yeah.
So if a whole heathen environment comes into the church and they bring that whole ritual with them, Paul says, whoa, no, it's not going to happen here. Mm. It's not going to be like this. Grow your hair, number one.
Yeah.
This is not our practice in the church. And please keep quiet until you know exactly what is going on. And don't come and bring the heathen practices into the church. Mm-hmm. The same with eating and food and diet. If your faith is weak, you will eat only vegetables because you will be afraid that the animals will have been sacrificed to idols. You go to a marketplace, they were all sacrificed to idols. Today we have very similar situations.
Mm-hmm.
So if your faith is weak, you won't touch it. But if you know an idol is nothing and your faith is strong, then you can partake of everything. Today we know, of course, that a healthful diet is a plant-based diet, so it has nothing to do with health issues. It had to do with religious rituals.
That's it.
Now, if my faith is strong, Martin, and there's a sign on, let's say, the condiment, that it has been dedicated to another deity, if my faith is weak, I'll throw it away.
Mm.
If my faith is strong, I will say, you know what, I don't care, because that one doesn't even exist. So this is, as far as I'm concerned, a condiment. And I'm going to put it on my food, and then I'm going to ask God to bless my food and I will consume it because my faith is strong.
Mm.
So all of those statements in the writings of Paul can be very confusing if you take them out of the historic context.
And the other problem is you can sometimes, exactly what you've just explained about the condiment, take it to the far extreme again.
And forbid everyone else.
Or say that everything is clean and I can eat as much as I want and do what I want with it.
That's the other
so
extreme.
So you have to keep the balance and go to the whole biblical picture.
Correct. So I hope this lady will continue teaching. If she is teaching the law and the testimony, then she's doing a great job.
But then isn't there also some restrictions or limitations on this portion of women?
Okay, now that is a bone of contention. Are you talking about ordination and things like that, Martin?
Yes.
Okay. Let's put it this way. Does the Bible have a hierarchy?
Yes.
It does.
Definitely.
All right, it has a hierarchy. And the hierarchy is the hierarchy put in place in order to dominate and be coercive.
No.
No, right?
Not at all, no.
Husband, love your wives. Mm-hmm. Love is not self-seeking. Love is all of these wonderful things, right? But there's a hierarchy. Now, God put a hierarchy in place because he wants to be vindictive, right?
No.
No, because That's the hierarchy that he put in place, and it is, if anything, protective.
That's, he will always do something to protect you and everybody around you.
All right. And there are certain things which a woman can do, which a man cannot do. Let's put it this way. He probably can do it, but not to the same extent that a woman would be able to do it, and vice versa. So in other words, you have certain responsibilities in the creation. And if you embrace that responsibility, you will be very happy. If you go beyond that responsibility or seek another one, then you could be very unhappy.
That's it.
And you could have situations that God foresaw would not be conducive to your state of mind or your health. So we are supposed to be a team, the man and the woman. And the man has certain roles and the woman has certain roles. And the two are supposed to augment each other and become one and respect each other in those respective roles. Like, for example, the woman is the queen of the house. Take your fingers off. It's not your domain.
Close the door when she tells you to.
Anyway, I think we've said enough. I think, Martin, let's leave it at that.
And
God has a hierarchy.
That's it.
And mankind is bent on turning the hierarchy upside down.
And in his church, the highest authority, if they have sat and made a vote on this, I think we should keep to it.
Well, Martin, that is your opinion, and I'm sure that many will differ from that opinion, but that is their problem, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's leave it at that. Let's not belabor the point. Fact is, God has put a certain structure in place, and as long as time will last, there will be those that will want to turn it upside down. Whether it is on the level of human positions or whether it is on the level of the environment,
mm-hmm.
is going to turn it upside down.
Definitely.